Hey everyone, and welcome back to The Perspective, a show where we tackle paranormal and supernatural claims, belief in aliens, conspiracy theories, and pretty much any other thing you want to call in with. Number is at the bottom of the screen, 951-364-2430. We want to know what you believe and why you believe it. And your hosts for the evening are none other than Kenneth Leonard and Dave Warnock. Guys, how you doing?
How you doing? Holy shit, I'm scared after that intro music. That I haven't done the show in a while. That music's like, oh my God, I'm going to turn up.
It's pretty kick ass.
That's intense.
It is, but that's I wanted to give people the feels. Like when the show, like, that music kicks in, you're like, I'm in front of the perspective. Here we go. Let's do this. Like,
I was going to run. I was going to run hide under my bed. You're lucky I'm still on camera.
Before every show, right when the song starts playing, I start doing this because it pumps me up and I'm like, here we go. It's my most like anxious, hardworking show of the week. Let's do this.
I love it.
Before we get into calls, I would like to, Dave, just real briefly, we're working on a new show together. Could you tell everyone about that?
Yeah, it's called That GD Show. And it doesn't stand for what you people just now thought. It could stand for that, but it's Genevieve and Dave. My co-host is Genevieve, and I'm, of course, Dave. Ethan is masterfully producing it. We've had some amazing guests, incredible conversations. We had a great show last night. It's Monday nights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We have a guest, and then we take calls. And so we talk about a lot of different things. My goal with the show is not just to talk about the Christian atheist conversation that is going on everywhere else, and other shows are doing it quite well. But we're going to talk about a lot of things. I've got a guest coming on in a couple of weeks that spent several years as a missionary in Pakistan and has written a book about the Muslim, the issues with Muslim and Christians and the East-West divide and all of the, I mean, highlighted after the fall of Afghanistan. It's a very timely conversation to have there. But, you know, subjects like that, LGBTQ issues, just anything and everything that affects it. The tagline is talking about the issues and ideas that affect us all. Okay. So that's the show.
Well, I may be biased. It's a really great show and I recommend it.
Thank you.
Also, you know, for people who are planning to call in, make sure, give us your best. If you have multiple paranormal experiences or multiple experiences with God or aliens, make sure have your best ready. That's the one we want to hear. Kenneth and Dave, are you ready to jump into calls?
Ready.
Right. I'm going to get off the screen, but I am going to bring on your first caller of the evening. Tony wants to talk about her paranormal experiences. Tony, you are on with Kenneth and Dave.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. What's up?
Not much. Just sitting here in Ohio.
All right. Well, we all got to sit somewhere, don't we?
That is true.
Do you guys want to talk about paranormal tonight?
I mean, yeah.
Whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah. Take us there. What happened? What do you believe in? Why?
Okay. Well, let me ask you, do you guys know what an empath and a clairvoyant are?
An impasse?
Empath.
Oh, an empath.
Empath and a clairvoyant.
I've heard these terms before. I mean, when I hear empath, my mind goes somewhere, but it might be most useful if you just tell us, as you use these words, what you're going to be meaning as you use them.
A lot of people that sense or see paranormal, I think a lot of it is a crock, just made up stories. But there is people that are real spiritual, that for some reason God gave them the gift of seeing and hearing things that are out of the unnormal. Clairvoyant is a type of, I don't want to say, I don't know what the word you'd want to use, but we sense things, we get dreams. In my case, I see things that are going to happen in the future. I sense dead people. They talk to me. I don't talk about it because people think I'm, you know, a wacko. So coming on this show is a big step for me. An empath is somebody who senses people's feelings, liars. You can feel bad in people. And you can also, they can project their feelings and you'll feel them. So it's, when Ethan said he doesn't believe in this stuff, and I'm like, well, I hope, kind of hope he knows about some of this stuff. my first experience.
So just as we move forward, so yeah, what you just said makes sense. I've heard these types of claims before, Dave. I mean, you've heard this kind of thing before, right?
I've heard the terms. Now I've been called an empath, and what I understood that to mean was people who know me feel like that I'm empathetic and that I empathize with people and I feel what they feel, but I have never attributed that to anything supernatural. It's just a personality trait is what my understanding of that is.
Yeah. Tony, so I want you to understand.
There's a high percent in one.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, what?
I was just going to say, there's
more to being an empath.
Well, yeah, based on what you're explaining, your definition, I could see that you felt like there was more to that definition than what I've understood.
Right.
But I'm not versed in these paranormal or supernatural ideologies and definitions. So right. I think for the sake of our conversation, it's best for us to go with your definition of things.
Absolutely. And Tony, I just wanted to preface this because I want you to keep going, that as you were speaking, okay, you were saying that there are these two different sort of categories of people who have access to information or access to sort of a supernatural realm that other people don't have access to. And that this is I believe you said a gift given to them by God.
Mm.
So I want you to know that as you're saying these things, my mind as a person who really values like scientific skepticism just starts spinning, because I'm going, well, wait a minute, how do we know that these types of people exist? How do we know what they do or don't have access to? How do we know where they got their, you know, abilities from? How do we know there's a God? So it's just like, it's very normal for people to just sort of stack claims on top of each other without even realizing they're doing it, and to speak very matter-of-factly about the nature of reality. So I'm just saying this to just plant a flag to go, as you do this, I want to ask you like 45 questions right out of the gate before you even keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm not a psychic, you know, and a lot of people that have some of the gifts I do, you know, I'm not Teresa, you know, on the show.
Sure.
I don't, I'm not that kind of person that walks in and sees dead people. It doesn't happen that way.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. So would be an example of the, you were just about to launch into an experience before I started running my mouth.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Share with us an experience that explains what you're talking about or that defines it, if you will.
Okay. I have multiple, but I'll give you my very first.
Okay.
Cool. Probably about 30 years ago, was sound asleep, sleeping with my 1-year-old next to me. And woke up and there was a black figure sitting at the end of my bed with a child and just staring at me. And of course I'm freaking out, wondering, you know, what's going on. And a few nights later, same thing happened, but something was holding me down and I could not move. I felt like I was looking down at myself and was being held down and felt like I was being violated. And the next morning woke up, I had bruises in my inner thighs. I had bruises on my wrist, and it looked like somebody took a rope and went up my butt crack all the way up my back. And so, you know, of course I went over to my mom and I'm like, I feel like something happened to me last night, and explained to her what happened. And, just kind of things like that as my age, as I've progressed, have happened. but I've learned to protect myself and control it. I've been thrown downstairs. When you're a clairvoyant, people who have passed, usually not nice people, kind of evil, will be attracted to you. So it opens you up to having, you know, like Amityville Horror stuff happen to you.
So my question is,
there's the good side where you can talk to people and communicate messages to loved ones.
I have to ask at this point.
You have a question.
So you've got whenever people tell me things like this, I don't want to invalidate their experience. There's no question.
Sorry, I got a dog fight. Hey, stop it.
It's okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Dogs are priority number one. So I don't want to give the impression at all that I'm invalidating your experience. I 100% believe you that you had an experience as you're describing, this, you know, sensation of not being able to move, of seeing something, of feeling something. I believe you. My question to you would be, how do we differentiate between what's imaginary and what's real when we're talking about these experiences? And by imaginary, I just mean happening inside your brain.
It's a good question, because I thought the same thing. And when I went over and saw my mom and she looked at all the bruises on me and marks, we're kind of like, well, how do you explain it? It was hard to explain it away.
Sure.
You know, and there, you know, that's the one thing, you know, there's a lot of people that are skeptical. I was for years. I denied what was going on. I'm married, been married for 11 years. My husband, I would tell him stories, and he literally thought I was crazy. Thought he was going to divorce me.
I don't think you're crazy.
Never met his dad. No.
I don't think you're crazy.
You know, was like, hey, I think my wife's a little cuckoo. We don't talk about, you know. So he took me to his dad's grave site. Never met his dad. And I sat there and I meditated on his dad's grave site. His dad told me so many family secrets. There's no way I could have known them. When I repeated them to him, and then I said, there's a guy talking next to him, which I didn't even know he had an uncle buried next to his dad named Rocky. And when I started spilling the family secrets, he's like, okay, now I believe you. So
let me ask you something, Tony. Let me ask you something. Earlier, as you were describing these gifts, as you call them, you explained that they were given by God to certain people. Do you identify as a Christian? Are you talking about the God of the Bible? The Christian God?
I believe in God, but I do not go to church.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, but you, when you say you believe in God, is that the God of the Bible? There are so many gods out there, so I try to narrow down the definition of the God that we're talking about. So when you say I believe in God, in your mind, what God is that? Which God? In your mind,
somebody created us.
Okay.
In my mind, somebody, we came from somewhere. Somebody created us.
And do you believe that God, that creator, is a benevolent being, a loving, benevolent being, as the Bible attempts to describe him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I could honestly not answer that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Because the things that I see, I just are hard for me to understand.
That's my question to you. Why would that God pick on you like this? Because that doesn't sound like much of a gift. A gift is usually something that we enjoy receiving. Hmm. But when you say you've been given this gift by a God, I'm wondering why that God's pissed off at you. Why would he pick on you and do this to you?
I think that life is a learning curve. And I think that we have to go through bad things to get to the good. The gifts that I have, I can do good with, or I can do bad with. And that's what I'm learning is, you know, there's a lot of people who have lost loved ones, and just that one message can really heal a person's heart.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, I have had people that have been sick. My husband's a good example. He had cancer. I knew something was wrong with him. Kept telling him to go to the doctors, and sure as you know what, he had cancer.
Sure as hell. So in your view, the God has chosen you and given you this gift to help people, but with that comes some pain and some suffering is how you would view it. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We have to learn pain.
This is an interesting thing because
to other people's pain.
I'm interested in how you're arriving at conclusions in terms of like statements that you're making. So a minute ago you said something that we could evaluate the claim, and it has nothing to do with anything supernatural. You said that you have to get through bad things to get to good things. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
How would we go about evaluating a claim like that to see if it holds up?
Well, this is a good example. Say you meet a girl.
Okay.
And you really like her. And she cheats on you. Okay. It broke your heart, didn't it?
Sure.
So that heartbreak made you more aware of what you're looking for when you go to the next girl you meet. So we all have to go through some type of pain to grow as a person, to understand our life and how it's going to be directed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess, how do you know this is not something, how do you know this is not a gift that Satan gave you?
I would like to think it's not.
Well, we all would like to think some things, but I think the point that Kenneth was making is that you've made some pretty bold assumptions as to what this is and kind of landed on some stuff and declared that this is what this is and this is where it came from and this is what it's for. And Kenneth and I come from a skeptic viewpoint where we need evidence, we need to be shown, we need you know, something besides a claim that someone has that they see and hear things. Because I got to be honest with you, Tony, I've talked to quite a few people who claim to have had these experiences, and there's never any evidence. It's always anecdotal, an experience that was had. There's never any video. There's never any pictures. There's, you know, and the video pictures that I have seen have been shadowy figures or something in the background in a very fuzzy video moving, and it's just with the cameras that we all have in our pockets nowadays, I would think there would be some better evidence for these kinds of experiences that are paranormal or supernatural. That's the part that continually puzzles me when we talk about these things.
Yeah. And even if there was really good evidence,
even if
we had someone said like they're a psychic, and say we had someone who was a psychic go on television in high definition and say, I'm going to pick the Powerball numbers. And they did that, you know, 4 weeks in a row. That wouldn't tell us anything about how they were able to do it. We wouldn't even be able to rule out just like a lucky guess. It would be highly improbable that they would just lucky guess the Powerball numbers a month in a row. But is that more or less probable than them getting messages from like a god or from spirits or something? And how would we go about even evaluating that, the probability of the different claims?
I honestly don't think you can. I think that you would have to experience it yourself. I could sit here and tell you I'm, you know, Bill Gates' girlfriend. Okay, well, sure. Is it possible? You know what I mean? But you would want to see it for that, you know. And I think that when it comes to this, you know, to the spirit world, bad things, you want to see it for yourself.
Yeah,
my husband is a skeptic. He wanted to see it for himself, you know, and I totally get where you guys are coming from.
We would need to establish that a spirit world even existed before we could go about, you know, evaluating claims to have contact with such a thing.
Right.
You know?
Tony, why do you think there's no
go on?
Why do you think there's no video? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think you guys need to go on a ghost adventure in a haunted graveyard.
done it. I've done the haunted house thing. I've done it. Like where I grew up was in San Diego, and there were a couple different haunted tour things that I went on. I went out to, I've done this stuff. I just like when I hear psychics
I'm
talking, you're from San Diego. I grew up in Chula Vista. So, you know, been to the Whaley House, been up to the Point Loma Lighthouse and done the tours and stuff. So if you're from San Diego, you know where I'm talking about. So the old town, you know,
there's nothing going on there.
Well, I mean, if there is,
yeah, I went to all that.
What I'm wondering is,
I didn't see anything.
When I hear people talk about being able to have contact with the spirit world, and we don't even know that a spirit world is like a real thing, it would be like if somebody was talking to me about like what flavor of ice cream their unicorn likes. And before I could even begin to evaluate the claim about the ice cream, I'd have to be like, wait a minute, you have a unicorn? Like, mm-hmm. So it's, you know, there's.
I mean, like, I want to see a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm calling in. It's not something that's hard to prove. It's
wait a minute. You said that's hard to prove.
I said it's something that is hard to prove.
Yes.
Unless you actually physically see, hard to
take pictures next time. Do
like
some video.
Bring it.
Bring pictures. Bring evidence. Do you understand why it's frustrating to me or confusing to me? Why, in this world of cell phone cameras that we all have, right beside us all the time, why is it that we don't have anyone that's snapping pictures or taking videos of these experiences if they're really happening? Why do you think that is?
I think people do it. I think a lot of people do, but it's really easy to discount a speck in the air, or, you know, it's really easy to make an orb with a camera.
Sure.
The lighting's just right, and you just have to dust, and you're going to get an orb.
That's why I would think it would be more compelling than some weird lighting or some foggy little shadow in the background of a grainy video, like it was done in 1940. Well, I just don't get it.
As far as I know, every single time these like claims or photos or recordings are investigated and tested, they always come up short. But when you talk about personal experience, is it possible that somebody out there is having personal experiences where they are interacting with a spirit world? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know how we would test that. When we talk about personal experiences, like you reminded me of, there was a guy one time, a Christian I was talking to, who I asked him, you know, a line that I've heard other atheists use over the years of, if a like a Damascus Road experience is good enough for Paul, why isn't it good enough for me? Why doesn't God just show himself to me? And the guy, he put me on my heels by asking me, well, if you did have like an experience where you had like something appear to you and speak to you, what would you do? And I was like, I'd probably go get a CAT scan like right away. I'd want to know if there was something wrong with me. And he was like, that like killed the conversation, because he was like, well, you're the most skeptical person I've ever heard of. You're ridiculous. And I was like, well, but I know that people are capable of being wrong, of being deluded, of seeing mm-hmm. things that aren't there. We have, you know, crack open the DSM and you can, you know, see all the different ways that people's brains can convince them of all sorts of things. So with personal experience, the fact that somebody has an experience that is enough to convince them doesn't help anybody else.
No.
You know?
It's just my experience.
Yeah.
It's not one that I like. I mean, do you think I like waking up and having somebody tell me, oh, this person's sick and they're going to die? I mean, I predicted my mother-in-law's death last year. 2.5 years ago. And it's like, it's not something I like living with. I don't like to know those things. And, you know, as for ghost shows and stuff like that, I don't watch any of that. I don't believe any of it. I think it's all fake.
Why do you think theirs is fake and yours isn't?
Because usually you don't catch that stuff on camera. It just doesn't happen.
Have you? But again, I'm going to ask you, Tony, do you have anything on camera?
No, I don't even.
Okay. Then why is yours, why is your experience more valid? Why is your experience more valid than the ones you see on the ghost stories on TV? Why do you discredit theirs, but you give yours credits?
No, that's just my perception. Okay, I think that it's edited and think that it's fake.
I will, keep that skepticism.
Then my mind might be different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like you, I'm skeptical too. I have these things happen and I'm still skeptical about other stuff on TV and stuff like that.
I mean, if I were you,
easy to make anything.
I mean, here's some unsolicited advice. I would start to really think about, okay, you get these, that you sort of intuit these things, you get these feelings, you have these predictions that you make that seem to come true. I'm wondering if you can take some time to ask why, how, you know, the sort of the foundational skeptical questions. Also to be aware of that when we're evaluating like causal relationships between things, I mean, human beings are really bad when it comes to like counting the hits and forgetting the misses, you know, with their predictions. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it may be the case that you predict things and have sort of a predisposition, like most of us do, to remembering when you're successful and forgetting about when you're not. Or you could be a legitimate clairvoyant. I mean, I don't know, but the question would be how could we evaluate it? How could we test it? And to really dig into those questions.
I don't get a lot of them. I don't open myself up to it. I have to put myself in a position to be open to it.
But that's a way of setting yourself up for what's called confirmation bias.
Well, when Dan's dad told me this date and just kept saying Rita 94, because she was going to be 94 last year. So I asked the family, does 9 or 4, the month 9 or 4 or the year 94 mean anything to anybody in the family? And nobody could come up with anything. You know, so I was trying to discredit myself.
Right, but by doing that, you've primed them so that now if something ever happens, ever, where those numbers are significant, mm-hmm. now they can go, oh, there it is. And this is a way of setting yourself up, literally priming yourself for confirmation bias. I would urge you to look at the work of someone like Daniel Kahneman, like in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, where he talks about all these different ways that human beings can fall into cognitive traps. Rational, smart people can be susceptible to fooling themselves. But we've got a bunch more callers. Tony, you've been an awful great person to speak to.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you call back.
Well, I hope the ghosts don't throw you down the stairs anymore or whatever's happening, because that's not nice.
Yeah, that's shitty.
I would say if that's from God, you can say, God, take it back. I don't want it.
Yeah, I went to Maine for a year. Everything bad happened in that house and I left.
Okay, good for you, Tony.
Awesome.
Thanks for the call.
But good luck, you guys, on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hope we talk again.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Yeah, the thing about throwing down the stairs, that sucks.
I mean, could it be sleepwalking? And there's a lot of, I don't know, there's always explanations. There has to be. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but one of the comments that they were glad I'm frustrated after all the interviews I've done on here. He may be being facetious, but I have talked to quite a few on this show, and every one of them say the same thing, and there's never any evidence. And Ethan has even gotten some pictures and videos, and every one of those pictures or videos is just not compelling. Yeah, not compelling.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Maybe our next call will be more compelling.
What do we got?
We got Joe in Virginia. Joe is a theist who has some criticisms for atheists. What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Kenneth? How you doing?
How you doing?
Hey, Joe.
You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
What's going on? How are you?
Yeah, so hosting a show, talking to folks. What can we do for you?
Yeah, you're doing a good job, man. Hey, what's up, Dave? How are you?
Good, man. What's on your mind, buddy?
Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you. Thanks for watching. If you watched, I don't know.
Yeah. I watched some of it. I watched a little bit.
Okay, but, good.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I think both of you guys are real good guys. So, yeah, my criticisms aren't really of atheists. They're of the show, The Atheist Experience.
Oh, okay. What's your criticism of that show?
I've been on that show. Dave's been on that show.
Yeah, I know both of you guys. So, but it's not against you guys personally. I mean, I think both of you guys are decent guys. But, you know, I've watched the show for a while, even, you know, way before you guys started hosting and stuff. And I think Matt Dilhoney is really taking that show down just to horrible levels. I think it's just kind of trash now. When he hosts.
I got to ask, opinion. why would you call this show to talk about that show? I mean, there's literally a number you could call any Sunday to talk to Matt and tell him.
He'd probably take your call. He would probably enjoy this call if I know Matt. I would say take your complaint. Have you complained to Matt about it?
You know what he told me?
What did he tell you?
Yeah, you know what he told me?
Uh-uh.
He said, shut the fuck up, and then he hung up.
Okay, well, so that's what you don't like about him, right? Because he's blunt.
I mean, for the purposes of... For the purposes of this show...
Why the other host let this happen, where he tells callers to shut the fuck up all the time. And I just find this just really terrible that atheists don't ever say anything, that nobody has the courage to do anything about it.
Well, listen, two things. One, for the purposes of this show, it would be probably better for our format if you complained about like us directly and not people who aren't here. Because complaining about Matt when he's not here, he can't respond, you know? It's very interesting to me, like how like the public perception of Matt is versus every interaction that I've had with the guy. I've disagreed with Matt about stuff. Matt and I have had conversations where we're going back and forth, and I'm telling him that he thinks he's wrong, and he's telling me that he thinks I'm wrong. I mean, if you think that people don't criticize Matt to his face or tell him he's an asshole or you know, complain about how he handles the show, I promise you're wrong.
Do you support it when he tells people to shut the fuck up and hangs up on literally everybody?
I mean, it depends on
the whole tone of the show.
It depends on the call.
First of all,
this show is about what do you believe and why. But to answer your question, it does depend very much on the situation. Sometimes I think people absolutely.
Okay, so it's all right to tell people to shut the fuck up, depending on the situation. Is that right?
I would say sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You're better than that. You're better than that, buddy.
I'm not, and I've been in situations.
The one person who had the guts to stand up was Autumn. She said something to him. You know what happened to her? They just erased it.
So I've been in positions.
You guys don't have the courage to say anything. I'm sorry.
I've been in positions where I've been in positions where I've been in positions where it has been the right thing for someone to tell me to shut the fuck up, like numerous times in my life. So I don't know what to do with that, buddy. So Joe, well, if you want to go back and talk about things that you believe.
I think it doesn't do any good for us to sit here and complain about Matt, and we could defend him all we want. Has he called and has he told some people to shut the fuck up? But to say he literally does it with every call, that is factually incorrect.
It doesn't make any sense to call this show and to do that. That was weird. But if you want to call back and talk to us about what you believe and why, we're here for it. In the meantime, we do have other callers. We've got Angelica, who had called before.
Did you tell Joe to shut the fuck up and then hung up on him?
I did not.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
I did not.
I didn't think you did. I didn't think you did.
Yeah. I mean, anyway.
No, I don't know what that. I don't know what that was. Yeah, whatever.
But Angelica is on the line. How's it going, Angelica?
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. I'm doing all right. It is very cold and rainy here in Colorado.
Oh, well, you know.
I don't like the cold.
I mean, you do have all that legal marijuana to keep you toasty, you know, and if the weather's getting you down.
Yes, it is available.
So, now, Angelica, if I remember right, you are the person who transports souls to the afterlife. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Yes. All right. Well, what did you call to talk about today?
Ethan suggested that I call in again. I guess maybe I can relate some of the stories of some of my psychopomp exploits.
Okay.
Psychopomp, of course, is the technical name for what I do.
Of course. Okay. I didn't know that, yeah, but
it is. It is. It's, I mean, and it's a person who, I mean, okay, if I understand, because I read up about this a little bit afterwards. So we're going to do a little knowledge check and see if I know what I'm talking about now. Because okay. I was not familiar with this term before I listened to Angelica's last call. So my understanding is it's a person who sort of like guides the souls of the deceased into the afterlife, that you're not in a position where you're passing judgment on these people, but just, I mean, literally a spirit guide. Is that more or less accurate?
Correct.
You don't determine where they go.
Place.
Yeah, you're not determining their destination. You're just like the mailman delivering the mail.
Right.
Good news or bad. Right.
The gateway, and once they pass through the gateway, that is where they will find out their final destination, so to speak.
Now it wasn't me that you talked to before, right? I don't remember who the hosts were. When you called in last time. But I'm wondering if, before we keep going, if you could help us understand how we can know that souls are even a thing. Because I'm under the impression that souls are not a thing. So maybe definitions and some sort of like background information would be helpful.
Well, probably... the easiest way that I can explain it, maybe, is consider the physical body of a human or an animal. Consider the physical body as an automobile. And that automobile is sitting there, and if it doesn't have any gas in it, that automobile won't run. But the soul would be the gas that will make the automobile run.
Okay. So the place where that particular analogy is hard for me is
problematic
is that I've owned a number of cars. They have all required gas to run. I can test the idea that a car can't run without gas, or that it can run with gas, or that gas is necessary for a internal combustion engine to work. How could I do that with souls?
Probably about the only way that I could say that I know that there is a soul is that I have talked to some of the people that I have transported to the afterlife. I have talked to them later on, maybe days later, weeks later, months later. It just depends on if and when they would like to contact me. And they tell me, usually they tell me that they're having a lot of fun where they are. And they will often tell me that they miss their families or they miss their pets, the ones that are still here on Earth. And I tell them, you know, if you want to come back here and visit, just make sure that you bring an escort with you. It's not good to have a soul here on Earth by themselves.
So when you say you talk to them, what do you mean? Do you hear a voice? Do you see something? How does that work?
I guess it's like a form of telepathy. It's not really something that I hear with my physical ears. It's something that I have no other way to describe it, is I hear it in my mind. Now, I have to be careful when I tell somebody that, because it's not a situation like, oh, some people that you have seen on the news over the years that they say that they heard their neighbor's dog talking to them and their dog, the neighbor's dog told them to go rob a bank or hurt somebody. It's not anything like that. I can always tell when I am talking to a ghost.
How do you tell? I mean, because this is key.
They have a specific energy signature.
An energy signature? Go ahead.
So you're saying that they usually tell you they're having a good time. Where do you think?
Yes.
I don't know what your background is. I don't know how you identify, whether you would say you're a Christian or do you believe in a heaven and a hell? What do you believe happens after we die? What are those what are the possible destinations of the soul?
I do believe in heaven. That's what I call the afterlife, because to me that's kind of like a non-denominational description of heaven. I do believe in not just a single male deity. I believe in a divine family of deities, male deities and female goddesses. I do believe in angels. And when I have taken souls to the afterlife, it's not like you would usually see on TV or maybe in a book where you just see clouds and angels and people walking around playing harps. Basically, what goes on in the afterlife is a lot of what goes on here on Earth, except no violence and no death and no sickness. There are movies. There are amusement parks. There are comedy shows. There are beaches. There's always something to do in the afterlife if the person chooses to do something.
So everyone goes to the same place for... Everyone goes to the same wonderful place with movies and parks and amusement parks, regardless of the life they lived on Earth. Is that what you think?
No. They will go to the afterlife first. And I have dealt with some people that were not nice at all here on Earth. And when I get them to the afterlife, basically... Somebody there tells them, somebody in charge, like a deity, and put it like that, will say to them, if, and I'm saying this to you, if it's a situation where it's something simple that they need to just try to do things over again, they will be reincarnated, either here on Earth or on the planet of their choice. But if they have been such an evil person, like I'll use the description of, like, say somebody like Adolf Hitler. There is a planet out there that, for lack of a better description, is a prison planet. Because hell, with the fire and the brimstone and all of that, does not exist, and I put an asterisk there, does not exist for humans. Quote-unquote hell does exist, but the only thing that lives there are demons.
I've got to ask you,
And this planet for the humans, yes, I'm listening, go ahead.
Yeah, the word that stood out to me the most in everything that you said was toward the beginning, and that word was believe. You said that you believe that these things are the case. And I mean, it's very vivid, and what you're describing, I mean, it's certainly interesting. But here's where I run into a wall is, I mean, People can believe all kinds of stuff. For somebody who really, really cares about whether or not the things that they believe are consistent with reality, I feel like there has to be some sort of, you know, way of differentiating between, you know, true things and not true things. So when I say true, I really mean just consistent with reality. What I'm wondering is, How do we get from just belief to something a little bit more like knowledge?
Well, and unfortunately, I don't have a way. Believe me, I wish I did. I would love to be able to take a video camera or just a still camera with me and take pictures of the beautiful sights that I have seen, but I have no way to do that. So the only thing that I can offer someone, if they're really interested in seeing where I go, is I would suggest to them that they would learn how to astral project which is how I get to where I'm going, because I cannot go to a non-physical place in this physical form. And I would take them there. I would take them there, and I would.
I'll sign up. How do I do that? I'll sign up. I'd love to go visit these places. How do I do that?
If you're interested, I did help write a book about exactly what I do, being a psychopomp, and it does have instructions of how to learn how to astral travel, and it's called The Book of Herman, The Divine Inside, and it's available on Amazon and through Barnes & Noble's website.
So okay. You're saying I can learn how to do this. Okay.
Yes.
Angelica, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is it important to you that the things you believe are true, or do you just want to, I mean, is it important? I have a kind of a thing I live by. I want to believe as many true things as possible and not believe as many things that are false. Is it important to you that what you believe, as Kenneth was talking about, is it important to you that that's true and factual and based in reality?
To me, it's a job that I do, because I have the ghosts come to me and they're lost and they're frightened. I can't just tell them, go away, you know, I don't want to talk to you. To me, it's something important to do, that I do, rather. I don't really try to convince anyone. If someone has questions about it, I do my best to answer to my knowledge of what I do, or I offer to show them what I do.
Well, here's where I'm going.
Learning how to do that.
Sure. Here's where I'm going with this. Because you really didn't answer my question. You said you felt like it was a job that you were given to do, but you didn't answer the question that you're concerned that what you believe is true or not. And so what you described in the various things you described sounded like one of the most bizarre fantasy land movies I've ever seen. Pure fantasy. And I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you that's how it sounds to my rational mind. If I was to take a few minutes and create an exact opposite scenario and describe a fantasy land that was polar opposites of what you described, that so-and-so people went to this place and other ones went somewhere else. If I described a scenario that could not coincide with yours, one of the two had to be true. One had to be true and one had to be false. How would you be able to tell me that yours was true and mine was false?
I guess after everything is said and done, other than taking you there and showing you, I probably would not be able to prove to you, like in court, something like that, that I was correct and you were not. I just know what I believe, and I will do my best to explain it to anyone who asks, and they don't have to believe it if they don't want to.
Well, but okay, and I got to call it a pet peeve I got, because when people say this, like what you just said, of being like, well, you know, I'm not really trying to convince anybody, and people can believe what they want to believe. You're not wrong.
Yes.
People can believe whatever they want to believe. But the thing is that in the world that we live in, the things that people believe inform their actions, and then their actions have consequences. So the example that came to mind for me was, you know, if somebody believed that, and I'm not Islam, like sort of like really extremist Islam is the first thing that came to mind, of people who believe that the best thing that they can do with their lives to make God happy is to kill unbelievers. So, you know, if somebody is fully convinced, they believe that they've got the word of God, and that their interpretation of that word of God is true. And everywhere they look in the world, once they believe that, they just see confirmation everywhere they look that they're correct. And, you know, and they come to really, really believe that the best thing they can do is, you know, strap on a vest and go blow up a bus somewhere and kill a bunch of people. I mean, they can believe whatever they want, right? But it has consequences.
Yes.
And I think that that's true about all of our beliefs.
Well, I definitely have never heard any of the deities or angels that I talk to tell me, you know, just as you said, go blow up a bus or sure. go.
But what if they did?
Trade Center or something.
But what
like
if
that.
They did? What if they
I
did?
I would believe, I would know that I was not talking to an angel or a deity. I would know that I was talking to a demon, and that demon would get
zapped. That's really interesting to me because, I mean, it's like, how could we know that mm-hmm. that the what you're it was happening in your mind, what you're communicating with is the true divine and not the guy who blew up the bus? How do we know that that's not the real God?
I guess it would have to, you would have to just experience it. When you are speaking with or conversing with, I shouldn't even say speaking to, I should say conversing with the divine family, there is no other feeling from them other than love. When you, if you are unfortunate enough to come across a demon, they're angry. They really do smell bad. You'll smell them. They smell bad. They're angry. They're violent. It's almost indescribable of what it's like if you encounter a demon. When I encounter one, I don't talk to them. I have no interest in anything that they are saying. They just get zapped.
I hear what you're saying, but I mean, you can find footage. And again, I don't mean to pick on Islam, or to suggest remotely that the actions I'm describing are representative of Islam in a broad sense in any way. But you can, yes. you can find footage of like ISIS militants with smiles on their face, looking joyful as they kill themselves and take out innocent people. Witnesses to these attacks have described such a thing. I mean,
yeah,
so
you've got a sweet mom who heard voices telling her to drown her children because they were evil.
And as they're drowning their kids, they're like, they're happy and they're at peace because they know they're doing what their God wanted them to do.
When you give in, Angelica, when you give in to voices that can't be verified and they're just in your head, you're opening yourself up to some really dangerous ideology. And you sound really sweet and you've got a really nice, sweet voice. But I'm telling you, as Kenneth Thank said, what we believe is important because it informs our actions and ideas have consequences. And what you're describing, I'm just going to say it, is very dangerous and very disturbing.
Well, and what I'm trying to draw attention to is that you sound like a sweetheart of a person, but I worry about the effects of normalizing believing things on insufficient or even non-existent evidence.
On voices in your head.
Yeah.
Charles Manson was Jesus and he slaughtered people. I mean, there are too many examples of people going off of voices in their heads. I mean, you could have a bad day. You could go down a dark path and those voices could in your head could turn dark. And Angelica, you would say that would never happen to me. But I guarantee you the people it's happened to would have said that before that too. So I'm just going to say your ideas are disturbing. Yeah. What you're describing is very disturbing to me. As sweet as it sounds, it's troublesome.
Yeah.
Yes. Those people that you described, the ones who drowned their children, the unfortunate situation of the very extreme religion, which is Islam, that they'll blow up a bus or something like that. Those types of people that I have encountered, they are possessed. And
how come? How do we know you're not?
How can we know that? Like,
how do we know you're not? Because you sound sweet.
You're saying that as a statement of fact about the nature of reality that there are people who are possessed. How could we? How I don't understand how you feel confident saying that if you can't demonstrate it to be true.
The only thing that I could possibly tell you, gentlemen, is I did transport Charles Manson home to the afterlife. And yes,
I mean,
he was possessed.
Angelica.
And the demon was removed, and he ended up on the prison planet. And he will be there until he has repented, for lack of a better description, and then eventually he will be returned to the afterlife.
I mean, with all due respect, like the voice in my head is just screaming, like, prove it.
Mm-mm.
And, yeah. and And okay. Like, again, you sound like a sweetheart, but I think it's irresponsible to be making claims that you can't back up. You can't demonstrate that they're true. So yeah.
Angelica, like I said, you sound very sweet and nice, but your ideas and what you're describing is dangerous and disturbing. And I want to continue to say that. And I don't want to be unkind, but I hope you get some help, because I think there's some delusion going on here. I really do. I'm sorry.
But we do very much appreciate,
gentlemen, and that's fine.
We appreciate your call. We're going to move on to some other folks, but have a great night.
All right. You gentlemen do too.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Can I scream now?
Do it.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
I mean, you drew attention to something that I think is really important, because, like, people who are, like, sincere, like, good-hearted, nice people don't seem to realize how dangerous and toxic it is to...
I mean, it's all disguised. It's all hidden behind the sweet little nice voice. Yeah, I took Charlie Manson to another planet, and we're giving him a timeout, and when he's had a sufficient timeout, we'll let him back come play with the others. That's just batshit crazy, Kenneth. I'm sorry. If that was a male talking in a gruff voice or something, we would have heard it completely differently than a sweet little voice and I'm telling you, that's some dangerous, disturbing ideology she's explaining.
I just don't even, I mean, I don't know how people can look at the world we're living in right now, see the consequences of, I mean, there, coronavirus has been, like, in many ways an opportunity, because we can see in real time the collision of reality with believing in nonsense. Mm-hmm. And the tragic, horrific effects that has.
I mean, telling you, beliefs have consequences, and she's a deluded person out there. You know, I don't care how sweet she sounds, that can turn.
Yeah.
And that's just not good. That's just, I don't know what else to say. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, when she brought Charles Manson into it,
that's right. Yeah.
My head was going to explode.
Like, yeah, that's where the prove it thing.
Oh my God.
Came out. Well, the voice in my head is saying that we've got Rudy in Pennsylvania here, who's been on hold for quite some time.
Thank you for your patience. Yeah.
So, Rudy, how the heck are you?
Oh, you could just call me Nadia, by the way. I don't know why that was on there.
Sorry about Nadia. That. Okay, Nadia. Hey, Nadia.
Yeah. Hey.
Huh? How are you? How are you, Nadia?
Good. Good. Actually, what are your previous caller Angelica said, a lot of that is true, and I know how to astral project.
This just got better or something.
okay, so
I got proof.
Okay. You've got proof.
We want it. Please bring us some proof. Mm-hmm. We need it bad. I need either a lot of proof or some bourbon.
Yeah. So everything comes together. Angels, demons, aliens, they're all the same thing. They're interdimensional. It's not a matter of being physical. That's why sometimes they describe
let's get to this proof
as being able to do physical things.
Right. So what Dave just said. So I've got to plant a flag. So when we talk about proof, okay. There's a definition that I've been throwing around the internet for a while now of evidence. Okay. So, cause people always ask, what kind of evidence would I need to believe X, Y, Z and whatever. And I say anything that can be used to demonstrate that a claim is true. Okay. So let's pick a claim that you have proof for, put it on the table, and then get to the evidence, you know?
Mm-hmm. There have been countless documentaries and government programs where they have taken specialized individuals and used them for astral projection. The reason for that is because by astral projecting, you are able to have an out-of-body experience. When given specific coordinates, you can travel to said coordinates.
Okay, well, okay, so pause. So you just made at least three distinct claims. Government programs using these special people. The special people can astral project, and what it means to astral project is that they can project themselves to other locations. So there's three claims already. Yes. So which of these would you like to dig into and bust out the proof for?
Yeah, I'm still wanting to go back to that proof thing you mentioned.
For the government stuff, there are two types. There's astral projecting and remote viewing. Now, both of them are almost the same, but the difference between astral projecting and remote viewing is the fact that, say, you wanted to go to China and know where they got all their supplies for nuclear weapons, you would want to use remote viewing. But if you want to know what's inside of their nuclear weapons, you would use astral projection, because you would be able to stick your head inside of the nuclear bomb and look at all the components, come back for the government and draw it on paper.
So why would
why we, aren't they doing that?
Why well why would we believe that they are? So
they are.
Okay, so there's our claim.
Documentaries on this.
I understand that. So there's the claim is the government is using, let's just say, astral projection. Okay. So let's deal with that specific claim. The government is using astral projection to do, you know, whatever. We don't care what they're doing with it, just they're doing it. So how would we prove that claim is true?
Well, people are capable of doing it, and I could explain how they're capable of doing it.
Okay, whether or not people are capable of doing it or not, the specific claim is that the government is using astral projection. So just there.
Yes.
How would we prove that?
Okay. Well, I have actual footage of this from the government that I would be willing to send, share, whatever. And it talks about them using this specifically to check up on China and travel to other planets in past timelines. It is also time travel.
So my question to you would be this. If the government had access to astral projection, my mind goes a couple places. My mind goes, why would they make that publicly known? If that's true, why do we spend billions of dollars on spy planes and surveillance drones and technology satellites to monitor the world? Why do we have our entire cybersecurity infrastructure if we're capable of this type of thing?
Why do we have spies around the world and all the links that we go to try to obtain information and intelligence in other countries? Why not just astral project? If they've got the ability to do it, I would think they'd be doing it night and day.
Yep.
You're saying they do.
I understand exactly what you mean.
Well, I think Ethan would love, if you've got video evidence of this, if you've got evidence, please send it. We would love to examine it and see if it passes the test of scrutiny.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it takes a lot of spiritual training. That does not mean religion, and that doesn't necessarily have any rules to it. It's just knowing your soul's health so that you know how to travel with it. And the thing is, most people do not know how to properly tap into their telepathy or astral projective self. In order to do this, you have to completely abandon your ego and be selfless.
Nadia, with all due respect, I've got to cut you off because what's happening is you're just stacking claims on top of each other without substantiating any of them so that we can keep going down this path with you. I mean, so we still have that first claim on the table of the government uses astral projection. and we're not anywhere closer to, yeah. to demonstrating that that's true.
Okay. Do you want me to send the video?
Yes,
absolutely.
I have
yes.
that up.
Yeah, yes. send it to Ethan. I don't know if Ethan can put it up on the screen here. I mean, he's a wizard.
Okay, so my
there he is.
You want my email address, or actually, can you find me on Facebook?
I can check Ethan. Hang on. I might have to download it, the video on my phone. But if I send it as a link, it might take you to a group, but it should be public.
Okay, can I give you my Facebook right now? And can you write it down?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
It's Face.
I'll just type it in.
All right. It's facebook.com/Ethan yep. F as in Frank Michael MICHEAL. Make sorry sure to interrupt did. The show for this, on- but
make sure she gets wait. The E and the A just like it's on the screen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I already have you on Facebook.
Oh, boom. Okay.
There we go.
Send it right there. Yes. All right.
Yeah. Post it.
Oh, I didn't recognize the name. Okay. Send it right there.
It's a radio. I'm sorry.
I just, I don't know, man.
You should be able to go on there.
Okay. He's going to pull that up and probably try to get it on screen. Tell us what this video is so we'll know what we're looking at.
Ethan's going to whip it out.
So this is a very specific project that they were using to time travel and spy on China. They, in the video, specifically time travel on Mars when they are given specific coordinates.
Why would going to Mars be useful for checking out China?
Well, they don't, they're not related to each other. That's just the things that they were able to do.
Ethan's saying he can't access the link, Nadia. So I don't know what that means, but. I guess the question.
Is it in a group?
I mean, it's.
I don't know.
I'll tell you, it blows my mind because, like, I spent some years in the Army and. Never once encountered anybody using astral projection in any sort of like tactical or intelligence gathering way. I'm currently a government employee with a security clearance. I do investigations. I have worked with people across law enforcement agencies at every level. And no, we get lots of training. We get nothing related to astral projection. So
I mean,
I'm wondering.
I think why the answer to that would be that you're not cleared for that level. I mean
that could be that
beyond top secret, and only a few have access to it. That would be an easy response to that.
Could totally be.
Nadia, Ethan is saying that the group moderator, whatever group that was, has to approve the membership, and it's pending. I don't know if you can get that accessed.
I could try clicking off on my phone and downloading the video. I don't know why, but Facebook won't let me download videos when I'm on my computer. It's just the way it is.
So as you're doing that, my question in my mind is, as I hear you talking, it sounds like you're saying that possibly the reason this is not more prevalent in the military or anywhere else is because not enough people know how to tap into their soul or something. So it keeps it in this realm of mysterious and very misunderstood and very rare. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I'm picturing a room with like a couple people who can astral project, like those people in Minority Report now. I don't know if anybody gets that reference. Mm-hmm. The precogs in Minority Report. I just don't know. Do you think a Facebook video is you know, credible? I mean, I haven't seen the video, so I don't know, but.
Oh, absolutely. I understand, it's a Facebook video, but I'm personally like going through YouTube here and it's just not on there. Somebody had to have downloaded this because it's from 1990-something, I think. I forget what the exact date. 1984, actually. It's called Project Stargate.
Oh, Project Stargate.
And
okay, what's that, Kenneth?
Yeah. We've had people talk about Project Stargate before. Okay. Outside of the world of the Facebook video, how much have you looked at Project Stargate?
Personally, I have not heard of it until I seen this video, which is not available on YouTube for some reason. I've looked for it.
So basically,
but it is the actual footage from it. It's not, you know, phony, whatever. It has the official's name, everything.
Right. So
Joe McConnigal, I think.
The thing that I would direct you to look at is this. So Project Stargate started in the late 70s. Basically, you've got this project that's goal is to see if there's any useful application of like alleged psychic phenomena in the world of, you know, the military. To my mind, the only thing that anybody needs to know about Project Stargate, and they can spend all the time they want to researching this, is that in the 90s, the CIA declassified all of the Project Stargate stuff because it was determined that there was nothing there, that it was completely useless and a colossal waste of money. When it comes to the phenomena of remote viewing and alleged psychic phenomena, I would urge you to look up a guy called Banachek. Okay. I don't know if anybody watching or listening in the future has any idea who this is, but if you don't, you're missing out. Check him out. So have you ever heard of the James Randi Foundation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, you have not. Okay. Well, this is amazing. This is going to be so cool for you to look into. So James Randi was a stage magician years and years ago, and he became sort of better known over the years for skepticism and for debunking psychics. You can get on YouTube and watch stuff where, like, on the Johnny Carson show years and years ago, they would have people on who were like famous psychics, like Uri Geller would come on and talk about how he can like move things with his mind and bend spoons and do all kinds of stuff, read people's minds, do remote viewing. And then James Randi would come out as like a surprise guest and be like, here's how like everything that this guy is saying he can do is not legit. And he would like very publicly call these people out, which could be very satisfying to watch if you're into that sort of like, you know, instant karma type of deal. Yeah. So, but James
Randi had a $1 million challenge.
That's where we're going. So James Randi had this charitable foundation where he had $1 million cash prize for anybody who could demonstrate psychic phenomena was a real thing. And that prize went unclaimed. Nobody ever took it. Banachek was I promise. So Banachek was a guy who would go undercover in experiments as a mentalist, as a magician, and would fool the researchers into thinking psychic phenomena was a real thing. He was so good at what he did. He was so convincing. And then would reveal, after the researchers had concluded, we've got it, we've got the guy, this is the real guy, would show them, no, this is all nonsense, and here's how I did it. That's basically how Project Stargate ended, was with the government recognizing that there was nothing there and declassifying all the documents.
So Nadia, the fact that there's a video,
the name of that, guy again, that
Banachek,
has the award, because
James Randi, R-A-R-A-N-D-I. Well, he passed away.
Yeah, he passed away recently.
So the $1 million is going to just continue to draw interest in the foundation. But just because there's a video online somewhere or information online, it doesn't make it true. And extraordinary claims.
Well, I completely understand.
Yeah, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And the idea that we can astral project into the past or into China or to Mars or something, I would think that would be demonstrable, that would be able to be proven, and it would be all over the news. It would not be some secret thing on some 20-year-old mm-hmm. Facebook video. It would be leading the charge in changing things in the world that need to be changed. Instead, it's this backroom speculation that has no evidence and no proof. You started off by saying you had proof.
At it like this. You're in a position of power. Let's say you got there because, you know, maybe you did some white collar crime or something, but hey, that's most politicians, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to get into that. But what I'm saying is, if everybody had access to this, how do you think the world would be functioning? Would these same people in power be making their money?
I don't know. Who has access to it now, if it's a thing? Who's using it now? What's being done with it now?
It's so scarce and in between because there's so few people that are capable of it now.
Well, that gives you the ability to make an unfalsifiable claim.
When you say
that there's this thing that can be done, but very, very few people can do it, and only a few can, and they're keeping it secret because they don't want the people in power to get it, that's a claim that can never be disproven. Because you've created such a cloak around it that no one can ever penetrate that cloak.
That's really important. The concept of falsifiability is very important if you care about whether the things you believe are true or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, now this is going to sound a little crazy, but I'm able to do it.
We've been doing crazy all night. Go ahead.
Astral projection. But I have been talking to 12 different species of aliens since August 29th of last year because I found very specific proof of them in relation to the government, and they have been visiting physically since. I have in-depth descriptions that would fit an anatomically accurate descript of each species, and with the ones I speak to most, they are the Anunnaki, as they have confirmed to me. Now, the word Anunnaki, Anu means ant, and Naki means friends. They are not the giants as they depict. These are giant insects, and they look like a cross between a black picnic ant and a bark mantis.
So Nadia, I've got to ask you. You're saying that these beings have visited our planet, and these are alien life forms.
I need a drink.
Who have you talked to about this? Because there would be like parties that would be interested. So I mean,
I've been trying for the last year, and nobody has accepted me.
I can believe that.
I can believe that too. I feel like if aliens had visited you, you could, I mean, I don't know, reach out to an organization like the Air Force, or now there's a Space Force. They got cool uniforms, right? And see what they tell you. Let me tell you this, this whole idea of like astral projection is a thing, and that our government knows that aliens are real and that it's possible for us to project ourselves to other planets and interact with alien life forms, then they would probably want to talk to you. So if you were to reach out to the nearest, Air Force base and talk, go, hey, look, or NASA or somebody, and go, hey, listen, they're talking to me.
But
see how they react to you.
But why? Oh. Nadia, why?
That's
are they coming to talk to you? What do they want? What are you going to
do? Because I have discovered very hardcore evidence in relation to them with the government. The proof that I found would be directly the proof of the, what you would want to call, evil hybrids that are what we refer to as the ruling elites.
Nadia, Nadia, I want you to listen to me really carefully, yeah. Okay? Because and listen, I could be reading into things. This could all be, you know, but
I understand how crazy I sound.
No, I'm not. Listen,
sorry,
I'm not,
it has to come out like that.
No. Listen to me. You don't sound crazy. You sound distressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm worried about it. I want to tell you.
I want to tell you that it takes.
Our government. I don't think there's any good reason to believe that our government is interacting with aliens, or that there's some sort of like evil hybrid elite thing happening. Okay. When we use words like proof, I mean, proof is a pretty heavy word. We have to have evidence, and the evidence needs to be something that can demonstrate. Evidence. Okay. So
I have dedicated about 100 pages of proof to this claim alone that I wrote myself with images, signatures, audio, and video.
I'm wondering if this is a good way for you to be spending your time. Have you tried talking to like somebody who's like a mental health professional to see if you're onto something, or if maybe you're worried about something that you shouldn't be worried about?
Well, it's all real, and the proof is not deniable. It is what it is, and it's as scary as it sounds. It is true, and that's the unfortunate part.
Okay, well, I know that it's true in your mind, Nadia. Kenneth and I are both sharing a concern, and I don't mean any disrespect or to be unkind at all, but I don't think you're dwelling in the realm of reality, and I'm concerned that there's some mental issues going on that you might need some help with. I know you think there is. I know you do. I know this is all real.
To countless people for treatment, and they all try to do the same thing.
What do they try to do?
Whether you come there for abuse or anything else, record the worst things that have happened to you and listen to them over and over until you go numb.
That does not sound like
it's not good therapy.
No. Let me tell you something. There's an organization called the Secular Therapy Project, and I'm hoping that one of our mods will put it.
It's going to mention that.
there are people who you can reach out to who are not going to traumatize you, who are going to use evidence-based,
they're trained therapists,
compassionate therapeutic models to help you. The best advice that I could give you is that you're not alone.
Yeah.
That there is a support network just waiting to be found for you. And if I were you, I would put down the alien stuff for the time being and reach out to people who are going to try to, you know, help make sure that you're doing well.
The Secular Therapy Network in the chat.
And okay. All right. I went to numerous different forms of therapy. It's not that I know I sound like I'm in distress, but that's my voice breaking up a little, mostly because
it's not the
I
voice.
Have a lot of vocal cord damage.
No, it's but not the voice, know, Nadia. It's the things
I'm also
you're saying.
Afraid of... Yes.
Nadia, it's not the voice. It's the things you're saying. They're not based in reality. It's outlandish. And I do think that, as Kenneth said, you'd be well served to get some really good therapeutic help and get your mind refocused on some things based in reality.
We lost Nadia. I mean, listen, I've gone through therapy. I've had really good therapy. I've had really, really terrible therapy.
Did she fall off?
The call dropped.
Okay. Anyway, she's disturbed. I'm sorry.
It can be super useful to work through trauma and necessary. I mean, there's all different models out there. You said, Dave, I mean, we're talking about a person who doesn't seem to be operating in the realm of reality and who seems to be pretty concerned about some stuff that they probably don't need to be.
No, sounds like she's consumed with it. And, you know, that kind of hyper-focus on something, it's not a healthy mental perspective.
And this is a thing that I've noticed a lot in the last year and a half is we like every single one of us has a limited number of fucks to give. Okay. There's a limited number of opportunities we have during the day to allocate our attention to things. And, I mean, let this call be a reminder to all of us to try to focus on things that, you know, that are real, that matter. You know, because spending our time worrying about the elite alien hybrid government master plan, probably if there's no evidence behind it, probably not a good way to spend our time.
I agree.
You guys have fun tonight?
I need a drink. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. My mind's just racing because it's like, you know, the humanist component of everything that we do is right now just like right front and center in my mind. You know, I think that, I don't know, I'm soapboxing now. I think our community needs to do a good job of reaching out to these people.
I do.
That's a vulnerable person.
And some of these calls, and Ethan, we've talked about this before on the show, when you feel like you're talking to someone who really might be in danger mentally, then it becomes, you know, some of the calls, they're just entertaining because they're so far out there. But then you get to a place where you think you're dealing with someone who's got some mental issues that really needs help. And it's disturbing because you want to reach through the screen and I see John Haynes. I don't know what the fuck, John. I'm not assuming anything. I'm not assuming mental illness. But if you heard the call, you have to accept and recognize this woman is not dealing in the realm of reality. I'm sorry. Now, you can sit there in the chat all day and say something about assuming mental illness or whatever else you said. I'm just saying there's a woman who sounds disturbed. That's all I'm saying. I'm not a mental health professional.
Yeah. I would say I'm not assuming mental illness.
But, no.
But that didn't seem like an optimal mental state for anybody to be in. I mean, and listen, and the thing is, if she's right and the alien hybrid shit is happening, then yes, we should all be extremely concerned about it. But in the absence of any evidence to corroborate that, you know, what are we supposed to do other than care about the person who's suffering from these concerns?
And, you know, and that's the thing is it's incredibly difficult to do live because you really want to make the right decision.
We're live?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It is. It's a lot of pressure. People don't realize it. It's easy to sit behind a keyboard and be like, I would have done this. I would have done this. Not when there is a bunch of pressure on you. The way.
Yeah. And you're hearing the distress in her voice, and it wasn't the tone of voice. And I see your comment there, John. I appreciate that. But it's just like the things they're saying are so far outside the realm of reality and sound thinking. It's not about whether there's a God or a Holy Spirit or ghosts or aliens. It's just all this conspiracy ideology and this secrecy, and no one knows it but me, and I've got to get to the right people, but they're not listening. That's some dangerous, bizarre mental stuff going on there. And I'm not saying mental illness, but it's disturbing to listen to.
Yeah. It's the same with all the Q shit, all the vaccine shit right now. I just worry about people. I want everyone to be okay.
Yeah.
I want to give the world a hug.
Yeah. I wanted to hug her. I wanted to be helping her, and I feel helpless to help her. That was my frustration as the call devolved.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to get to our super chats. Left, right, left. Thanks for the super chat. Super chat.
Palate cleanser
breath. Amit Matthew, thank you for the $5 super chat. Oh, this definitely sounds like doom. Asexual atheist, thank you. Well done, gents. Caitlin Beyond, can we get Kenneth of that gif? Kenneth gif of that face. Oh, hell, there could be several from Kenneth.
We probably had a bunch of faces tonight. Cool. I almost couldn't get over Charles Manson. I'm sorry. She escorted Charles Manson to a timeout planet. What the fuck?
I am auto-clipping. I am going to clip out the part from earlier after that call.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Fuck. John Fabian.
Hey, John.
Not sure if I'm saying it right. I need to find out. My two favorite hosts tonight. Yeah, you Fabiano. Guys. Excellent show.
John's biased because he's actually my cousin.
Ah, well, yeah, I'm honored to be included in that club.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, this was, we had some great calls tonight. I mean, they were out there, man, but good calls. Yeah.
You, I think you guys handled them beautifully.
Yeah.
And well, for the record, I don't know why someone would want to call like the perspective to complain about AXP.
God damn.
Right.
That's like going to the local burger shop to complain about McDonald's. Right.
I was just thinking that. It's like while you're at it, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, like fuck McDillahunty. And also Subway messed up my meatball sub the other day. And the bus is behind schedule. And
it's like, maybe, come on, man. Maybe he wanted us to go to Matt and say, hey, Matt, somebody doesn't like you hanging up on people. Will you stop it? I don't know.
It'll be the first time Matt's ever heard that. So
yeah, right. He like he gives a shit. My god.
To your patrons. Woo! Shit, I didn't have that ready. Well, in the meantime, Dave, when's your next show?
Monday night. Every Monday night, 7 o'clock Eastern. Call in with your best show. We've got a great show coming up. I'm not gonna be on it. I'm gonna be traveling, I think, although that's up in the air. But Genevieve and Captain Dadpool are doing the show, and the guest is going to be a geo archaeologist. And we're going to talk about debunking false thinking and pseudoscience, those kind of things. So call in.
Kenneth, what do you got going on?
Not much. I'm getting married on Saturday. That's a thing.
That's no big deal.
And he stepped in last minute for me. So thank you, Kenneth.
Well, stop it.
It's like your second one. Does it even count? No, I mean,
right. the second one, I was listening to Kevin Hart earlier, and he was talking about how like the second marriage is the one that has to work.
Yeah.
When you get to 3, 4, and 5, you're just looking for a dying partner, like someone who's willing to stick around for you, you know, at the end. I wanted to say something, Ethan, because you said, you know, the thing about how it's hard to host shows live, and it can be challenging. That's why I have so much respect for the people who actually call in. Because
that's true.
You know, it's very easy to be on the sidelines. It takes something to put yourself out there and to engage in conversation. And all of the people we talked to tonight, for the most part, we're engaging, you know, honestly, as best as they could. So, you know, respect to them.
It does. It takes courage because you don't know if you're going to get shot down. I think it also speaks to the trust they have in the show that they're going to be treated respectfully. So you've built that audience, Ethan,
shout well out done. Ethan. Hell yeah. Thank you. So, and then other than that, I just got Talk Ethan stuff coming up, you know, in the future. So a couple shows in October.
I want to thank
I'll be on AXP with Evil Matt in October as well. By
that
the way.
Piece of shit. Fuck that guy. Tell him to shut the fuck up and hang up on him, you know?
thanks to the top tier patrons, City Plaza, Left, Right, Left, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, what? Jump and Shoot, Oz, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Caitlin Beyond, Toast, Richard Gilliver, Sunset Sarge, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Kyle Brewer. Thank you for your patronage.
Nice.
The pickup line will be back this Thursday at 9 p.m. with, 9 p.m. Central with Hannah Vaughn. And then join us in the Discord right now for the after show or the perspective after show. And that's it. If you want to see more of Kenneth or more of Dave, links are in the description. Thank you both. And if you want to have fun, if you're watching this, in the comments section, point out any fallacies we may have missed. Have
call
a good night.
Out. Hell yeah.
No, I didn't mean us. Don't call us. No, the callers. Which one did you miss?
That we missed.
Us too.
Yeah.
We didn't get any. We didn't miss anything. We didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
And like and subscribe.